our body detoxes estrogen via two detox pathways, the liver and the gut. So going back to supporting the liver, I feel like the liver doesn't get enough love, but the liver is a biggie. We gotta keep loving on it. Every morning I start my day with some dandelion root tea and half of a fresh squeezed lemon. Super simple, super affordable, but that right there is really good for some extra liver support, liver detox, eating all those good cruciferous veggies. Beets are great for liver love. And have you girls heard of castor oil packs?
Oh,
we love that.
There you go. Yes. Something as simple as throwing that on while you're doing your house chores. That can also give the liver some extra love.
Welcome to Functional Moms Podcast, lifestyle medicine for women over 40. Let's age on our own terms.
This episode is for you if you're curious about how gut health impacts your thyroid, hormones, and skin. We are going to talk about the gut hormone connection.
Dr. Caitlin Narduli is a doctor of chiropractic, functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, founder of Flourish Wellness Practice, and creator of the Gut Restoration Program.
Dr. Kate specializes in gastrointestinal health and shares that hormonal imbalances won't be fully resolved until gut health is optimal.
It is now Dr. Kate's mission to help women heal through holistic means and harness the power of the gut so that you can feel your best.
Dr. Kate, we are so excited for this conversation. Can you tell us a little bit about your story of being diagnosed with autoimmune disease and then becoming a gut health expert?
Of course. First things first, thank you ladies so much for having me. I'm very excited to sit down and have this conversation with you today. But yeah, I got into functional medicine practice through my own health struggles. Long story short, I was a couple years out of college to become a chiropractor. I was in school for about 7.5 years. I was working hard, paying off those student loans. You could say I was doing the hustle. I was in the grind, right. But I had an epic burnout. I gained almost 30 pounds in the course of a few months. I was having full-blown anxiety attacks, and probably the worst for me was I was having severe joint pain and fatigue. Like, I would wake up in the morning, go to put on my makeup, brush my teeth, get ready for work, and I would be in tears. Like, I had no clue how I was going to get through the workday, let alone handle patient care. So I did what most of us do. I started trying to eat healthy, exercise more because I was gaining weight, try this supplement. Right. Do what this friend was doing. Nothing was working. I was totally in the guess and check, trial and error sort of phase. I then did schedule an appointment with my PCP. She did what she knows how to do, but she looked at my blood work and she's like, everything's fine. I don't really, you know, there's no reason to explain why you're feeling what you're feeling. Would you like an antidepressant? And I was like, oh,
oh wow.
No, I don't really feel depressed. I just sort of kind of feel like garbage. So then I got referred to an endocrinologist. Then I got referred to a rheumatologist. And here we are. I was riding the struggle bus for almost a month. I mean, almost a year, because it takes a couple months to see these specialized doctors. And yeah, right. I didn't have any answers. I do believe everything happens for a reason. After about a year of struggling through this, a functional medicine practitioner was brought into my life. He's still a good friend and mentor, but he so kindly took me in. He's like, girlfriend, you are a hot mess. Let me help you. Let me show you some of these functional lab tests that are just different than the basic blood work that you've been evaluating. And within my first session with him, he very kindly helped me understand that Hashimoto's disease, autoimmune condition that affects the thyroid, was what was driving all of these symptoms. This had led to gut problems. This had led to hormonal imbalances. This had led to adrenal fatigue. So it was a little bit overwhelming because I was told I had a whole lot of stuff wrong, but it was also a sigh of relief, like, huh, at least I have some answers. And that's what led me to my own holistic healing journey and eventually led me to doing more training and education in the functional medicine realm.
Wow, that's really great. I have a quick question. I'm going to be the one that you have to speak to like I'm a 5-year-old. So what was it you said he diagnosed you with having Hashimoto?
Yeah, Hashimoto's disease.
There you go.
Yeah, this is an autoimmune condition and it does affect the thyroid. It can lead to hypothyroidism. I mean, there could be fluctuations in your thyroid patterns, but it ultimately means that the immune system is stressing and attacking the thyroid. That can really lead to imbalances in your thyroid hormones and actually start to slow down the activity of that gland.
Okay, so that specific thing has to do with connecting with the thyroids that connect connects with your hormones, that, and because you said that part, right? And then what was the other part that, or was that just it? Like, that's the how do you pronounce that again? I'm sorry.
Hashimoto's,
right. So that whole deal has to do with the hormones with the thyroid, and that then led to the adrenal fatigue and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I didn't know it at the time. I mean, I was just getting into my own holistic health journey, but 70 to 80% of your immune system resides in your gut. Did you know that? Mm. I didn't know that until I was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition. And
right. Yeah, I mean, that is amazing.
That is amazing.
One of the most powerful ways to help manage an autoimmune condition is to support better gut health, because the majority of the immune system resides there.
That makes sense. Yes. Perfect sense.
Yes. You know, I didn't know that specifically, like that number that you just gave, which is amazing. I just instinctively, you know, obviously not a gut specialist like you, but just through things that I hear, like if I listen even like to some of the stuff on Instagram that you post and so forth, that I see how the gut health, like the gut, you know, has such an impact.
Oh yeah.
On like
everything.
Like everything, right?
I say
everything.
And it seems to be like a cornerstone of functional medicine.
Oh yeah.
Because I feel like whenever people talk functional medicine, they're right away talking about gut health and how that is just so important. And maybe in conventional medicine, I feel like you don't hear about that as much at all. It's a little different.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't want to oversimplify it, but one of my favorite sayings that I say over and over and over again with my functional medicine patients is all healing begins in the gut. I know that might sound a little overdramatic, but the gut is the second brain. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to resolve hormonal imbalances. You're not going to holistically be able to manage your autoimmune symptom. You're not going to be able to quickly or efficiently recover from burnout until you get that gut right. I mean, I've seen it over and over again. All healing begins in the gut.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. So I guess our question for you then is, what, as women, especially like our audience is, you know, 40 plus, mm-hmm. so we're going through perimenopause, then we're postmenopausal. How can we, I guess, balance our hormones and using our gut to do that? What role would the gut play?
Yeah, absolutely. There's that huge connection between gut health and both sex hormones and stress hormones. So especially with those sex hormones, as we're cycling, and then as we move into perimenopause and finally menopause, I mean, estrogen can fluctuate drastically, especially whenever you're in that perimenopausal phase. And estrogen also goes up and down throughout the month whenever you're having a regular 28-day hormonal cycle. But your body only detoxes estrogen via two primary pathways. Two of our primary detox pathways for estrogen is the gut. You guys knew that was coming. And the liver. So whenever we're looking at holistically balancing hormones, we're looking at making that smooth transition through perimenopause, reducing symptoms. Something as simple as focusing in on good gut health can make a world of difference. So making sure that your gut mucosal barrier is strong and healthy, making sure there's no leaky gut, making sure that you're supporting a healthy microbiome, lots of healthy, good, balanced bacteria in the gut. There's a whole class of gut bacteria. I love this word, called the estrobolome. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes. That was one of our questions. I've heard of it, but I don't really understand.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you could share, we would love to hear.
It's pretty cool. There's this whole class of bacteria in the gut. These are good gut bacteria. They belong there. We want them healthy. We want them strong. We can feed them with probiotic. We can feed them by eating their rainbow, eating a nice variety of fruits and veggies, getting those good, healthy proteins in there. But yeah, this is a whole class of bacteria, the estrobolome. It actually helps to, what do you say, break down and metabolize and process estrogen. So it helps to decrease that excess buildup of estrogen. And that's super important, especially with my women who might be struggling with estrogen dominance, might be struggling with, again, infertility struggles, or even struggling to manage those perimenopausal symptoms, the hot flashes, the weight gain, and all the different things that come with those estrogen spikes or those estrogen imbalances.
Okay. So if we could just circle back for a minute, because I feel like you mentioned a few things. You talked about leaky gut. For people that don't understand that, could you just explain that a little bit?
Yeah, I apologize. We're kind of touching on a whole bunch of good, juicy topics here. But leaky gut is quite literally whenever the mucosal barrier. Now, whenever I say mucosal barrier, just think of the gut lining. And whenever I say gut lining, it's like your shield of armor, okay? Like, it's huge. I'm going to hit pause for a minute. I'm going to ask you to think like a first grader. If I ask, what does your gut do? How would you answer me?
I would say the gut digests, like breaks down around food and it distributes like the vitamins, like where they need to go, like what needs to go where. And then the stuff that is like, oh, we don't need this or it's not good. And like, then there's the waste. And then it kind of lets, you know, the waste goes and then it breaks down the food to get like the vitamins and nutrients wherever they need to go.
Yeah.
That's how I would think of it.
Amen. That's good.
Did I do good as a
first grader? You did great as a first grader.
Thanks.
But yeah, it brings in the nutrients from our food and it removes the waste. Out with the bad. The other little additional thing I like to add in is almost like your shield of armor. It's allowing the good in and it is removing the bad. It's protecting your body. It's a huge part of the immune system, as we mentioned. So leaky gut is almost like your shield of armor starts to get little holes in it. And
cracks.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, this can allow an influx. Let's just say bad things to keep it general. But this can be bacteria, viruses, toxins, herbicides, pesticides, chemical residues, on and on it goes. But whenever your shield of armor gets little holes, that's leaky gut. Excessive toxins, excessive stressors can sneak into the body then. And ultimately, this stresses the immune system. And we just talked about that big connection between. So leaky gut, there's a huge connection between it and the development of autoimmune conditions, and a connection between, you know, that immune system launching almost, that can also drive the formation of food sensitivities.
So I understand now, which is so awesome, Dr. Kate. I understand now. You know, I would always hear about the whole autoimmune and all of these things, that all these buzzwords also that you hear, like, you know, everybody talking about. But like, really, now I get it, like the connection with the leaky gut and all these toxins like sipping through these cracks. And then that messes up our immunity because it's not being protected by the suit of armor of the gut.
Yes, completely. You got it.
It's freaking awesome. Thank you.
So now I have to touch, you mentioned, we talked a little bit about the estrobilome, and then you mentioned estrogen dominance. And that's a word that you hear thrown around a lot too, when people talk about hormones, perimenopause, especially. So if you could explain that a little bit to us about what that's about and how would you know if you had something like estrogen dominance?
Yeah, for sure.
What is estrogen dominance, by the way?
Estrogen dominance is quite literally whenever estrogen is the most dominant out of your three primary sex hormones. It's an imbalance in your sex hormones. So you have estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And whenever estrogen is sky high, or there's a really big imbalance between those three primary sex hormones, oftentimes we'll refer to that as estrogen dominant. And it is pretty serious. I mean, it can drive a slew of unfavorable symptoms. I mean, night sweats, weight gain, mood swings, painful periods, PMS, on and on it goes. And this isn't a scare tactic, but my mom had undiagnosed estrogen dominance for a number of years that actually led to an estrogen-based breast cancer. So I'm a practitioner who's all about testing and not guessing. If I do, you know, an intake questionnaire with my new functional medicine patients and they're explaining a lot of symptoms that might be in alignment with that, I often recommend doing a Dutch test, a dried urine test for comprehensive hormones to evaluate where estrogen, progesterone, testosterone are.
So I can totally relate to what you're saying, because my mom had a similar situation in her early 50s. She was diagnosed with an estrogen positive cancer. And I know I myself am like prone to estrogen dominance. Like I'm a person on my Dutch test where yes, like sometimes my, and you would have to tell me the, you know, some of them are not as good. That one was too high or whatever, I guess. And so I did have to take some like proactive steps for myself to, you know, really work on detoxifying, I guess, more than maybe my liver. And so if you could explain, like, what can people do? Like if they think that they could be suffering from this, what would you suggest?
So for sure, we have those three estrogens, E2, as you were kind of searching for there. That's your primary. Yep. All three serve a different role within the body. But whenever those estrogens do start trending up, as I mentioned, our body detoxes estrogen via two detox pathways, the liver and the gut. So going back to supporting the liver, I feel like the liver doesn't get enough love, but the liver's a biggie. We got to keep loving on it. Every morning I start my day with some dandelion root tea and half of a fresh squeezed lemon. Super simple, super affordable, but that right there is really good for some extra liver support, liver detox, eating all those good cruciferous veggies. Beets are great for liver love. And have you girls heard of castor oil packs?
Oh,
we love that.
There you go.
Yes.
Something as simple as throwing that on while you're doing your house chores. That can also give the liver some extra love.
The Queen of Thrones. Let's go. Shout out.
I love Maricel. She's the best.
Yes. Yeah, no, we've both found that to be really effective. And I'm prone to gut issues, which makes sense, I guess, because I have this estrogen dominant tendency. And I know that, and using the liver pack too helps me with like constipation and things like that I'm more prone to.
Yeah.
So that is a good.
So the castor oil pack can kind of do double duty. It can help love on the liver. It can also help to support, gut health, good bowel movements. There's a lot of different things that the castor oil pack can kind of help both aspects of health with. But as you mentioned, gut health is also another primary detox pathway of that excess estrogen. So focusing on, while eating all your good veggies, getting all that fiber in there, eating a diverse diet to feed that healthy estrobilome, that healthy bacterial balance in the gut, limiting stress. I know that's like such a hard one, but there's all these different things that we can do to continue supporting better gut health and liver love to better support our estrogen.
Great. I just want to just ask real quick, Kristen, if we should just let the audience know also that we can put a link for the castor oil pack, the Queen of Thrones, on the link also on this episode. Anybody's interested in?
Yes, without a doubt. Yeah, if anyone's interested, that's
getting
such a great
the castor oil packs. We can share a link on that.
I had a quick question about the estrobilome. Is there anything that they know at this point that would be extremely beneficial for that bacteria, like certain foods or supplements or anything like that they've come across?
Yeah. So I don't actually have a specific supplement or probiotic that I pull from that specifically feeds like the estrobilome. I'm certainly open to trying and learning about new supplements. I don't have one right now that I go to just for that. But whenever you go back to the basics of supporting a healthy gut, like finding that good probiotic, rebiotic, making sure that like stomach acid is balanced. Whenever you look at the full digestive system, how well are we digesting food? How well are we moving it through the system? Evaluating for leaky gut and things like that. I would say whenever you look at like the big picture and we start supporting all those different pieces of the puzzle, the estrobilome as part of the microbial balance is therefore supported. So not to kind of skate around that question, but no, I don't have a specific supplement that I go to for like that group of bacteria.
Mm-hmm. I want to jump in.
Okay. Good to know. Just overall things that we can do to support it.
Yes. And speaking of supporting it, because you just said, you know, how well are we digesting? And you talk about all these and you refer to like, again, the leaky gut and all of these things. And from what you're saying and the question that Kristen had, I feel like you're saying like, I don't have a specific supplement, but there are all these things put together and understanding how well you are digesting is part of like how you support that. And so what I would say is like someone like me who is I am our audience. Okay. I'm a woman 40, you know, I'm over 40. I'm not as schooled as, you know, you and Kristen are in this space. So my question would be like, how, you know, would I know? My fear is that I don't know that I don't know. Right. And how would I find out? What would be the first step that I would take to find out how well I'm digesting? How would I know, like, if I have leaky gut? And perhaps some of the things that I may, you know, I asked Kristen before you were coming on, I was like, well, Kristen, like, she did the GI map, right? You did the map. And I was like, why did you do that? Like, what was the, like, why would I even think of doing that? And she's like, well, you know, I was having some bloating. I was having this and that. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know what it is? It's like, I may have some of these symptoms and I have some of these symptoms. Like sometimes I do feel very blue. I feel like, am I like 3 months pregnant? Like what's up? But I just cough it off as, oh, you know, whatever, it'll go away or it's just normal. Like, you know, so I'm thinking like, oh, I'm not being optimal. Maybe I'm not being optimal in my digestion or with my gut health, etc. What would I do?
Yeah, I'm so happy you said that because I mean, you don't know if you don't know. And I relate to you strongly in that sense. Whenever I was going through my Hashimoto's health struggles, whenever I was first going through that year of weight gain, anxiety, and joint pain, I actually didn't have any severe gut struggles. I didn't have bloating. I didn't have any abdominal pains or cramping. My bowel movements were regular. So yeah, you don't know if you don't really know. That's why I love the functional gut test. And that's why we do a really detailed intake questionnaire with a lot of our patients. But But yeah, even without those severe gut struggles, because of my autoimmunity, I actually had underlying leaky gut for probably years. That was probably one of the biggest contributing factors as to why I developed an autoimmune condition in my mid-20s. I was in college eating pizza on the weekends, drinking beer on the weekends, the nature of being a college kid. That totally contributed to the formation of leaky gut. Give me a couple more years with, you know, a high stress job out of college and boom, autoimmunity developed. So yeah, sometimes your gut symptoms don't have to be super severe. Whenever I say all healing begins in the gut, I am a big believer of it is one of our most foundational systems that we do have to evaluate and strengthen, especially whenever we're looking at holistic healing as a tool, whenever we're looking at customizing patients, a holistic healing program. Even if you don't show me a long list of severe gut struggles, I usually go in and I help to support gut health because I don't feel like you need to have that long list of severe symptoms in order to need some extra support in that area. Because life is going to keep life in, stress is going to keep stressing, and your gut is what feels the effects of that.
Yeah. I mean, you made such a good point because I think people tune out sometimes like, oh, I don't have gut issues. Like my gut, you know, I'm fine. I go to the bathroom regularly. I don't have gas, bloating, pain, diarrhea, none of that. So why would they care about their gut? Right. Like typically that makes a lot of sense.
And if you do have those symptoms, it's a huge red flag. You should not be living with constipation. You should not be living with belly bloat after every meal. IBS should not rule your day-to-day routine. So if these are symptoms that you're experiencing, I mean, I'm sure you guys know this, but yeah, please, no one has to live like that. That is a sign that your gut is in distress. We should dive deeper into, you know, what's going on and what's creating that stress. What's the root cause of that stress for you? And lack of symptoms doesn't always necessarily mean optimum health.
Right.
That's why I feel like the gut is so foundational.
Yeah. And so when you say you shouldn't, you know, don't live with that, what would be the, when you say, let's find out the root cause of that gut health issue, like what would be, like, how do you do that?
Yeah. So this is kind of what led me to develop the gut restoration program. I wanted to make functional medicine, holistic healing more affordable and accessible, but I mentioned that I'm all about testing and not guessing. So whenever it comes to gut health, my go-to functional lab test is the GI map, stands for gastrointestinal microbial essay. Sounds like you've already done one, Kristen.
I have.
Yeah. But I believe it's one of the best functional lab tests out there for evaluating gut health. And that's part of the gut restoration program. So let's test, let's not guess. Let's start really evaluating your digestive capacity. Let's start looking at the microbial balance within your gut. Let's evaluate for leaky gut. Let's make sure it's not there. Let's look for a couple other, you know, key aspects of gut health and maybe find the root cause of some ongoing symptoms, or maybe just look for a couple, when I say healing opportunities. Maybe you're not having a lot of severe symptoms, but what can we really strengthen up? What can we really, you know, get to, like, get into that gut and make even better to support all the other systems of health? But that's kind of what led to the formation of the gut restoration program. Test, don't guess. And then I always offer my patients customized supplement recommendations, but supplements alone do not do all the work. So of course we need to support our gut healing journey with things like better diet, rest, stress management, proper detoxification. I've been talking about these detox pathways and proper exercise, depending on where you're at in your health journey. And these are all different lessons and components that we start to dive into in the gut restoration program also.
Wow. Yeah. So I have to share this because, so this test that you're talking about, the GI map, I've had it, I've been on a functional medicine journey for a while. My issues did start with my gut. So I guess it was more obvious for me that I had issues, but I won't go into my story, but I just want to share that, like, recently I did a GI map again, because I was starting to have like more symptoms of bloating and, you know, constipation issues. And so what I was shocked when my practitioner was going over it, she said to me, oh, are you eating a low protein diet? Like, you're not. And I'm thinking, like, what? I've been following all the things that everyone's saying, you know, you're perimenopausal, I'm 47. Like, here I am eating high protein and I'm not absorbing it well through my gut. So her suggestion was for me to add HCL betaine to kind of help with that absorption rate. But I just wanted to share with the audience that it's kind of shocking that you could think you're doing all the things. And to your point, maybe test, don't guess.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, doing all the things. It wasn't working. I'm not absorbing it.
Isn't it kind of crazy? I still run a GI map on myself once a year. And I've never had a GI map come back perfectly squeaky clean. This is something I do once a year on myself to, again, continue holistically managing my autoimmune condition. And even just this year, I ran mine in February. Leaky gut looks good. my good bacteria look good, but all of a sudden I had a protozoa pop up. I can't really sit here and tell you exactly where it came from, but yeah, I mean, I've never ran a GI map that's come back perfect. And I would say I focus on my gut health day in and day out. So there's always ways to continue supporting and bettering your health. I mean, through different holistic means.
Wow. Maybe this should be like at your annual physical versus what they do now. Like, I feel like I get like nothing out of that, barely my typical physical.
I would agree.
However, the benefit of doing that, I'm thinking like from where you were to where you are now, is that every time you take that test, it gives you information on literally making assumptions like, you know, it's supplements, it's food. Is there something where you would say, hey, you know, don't eat this? Or is it like, how through this testing are you able to guide someone to restoring their gut health? Like, how do you get this information and then you're able to say X, Y, and Z? And is this like a once a year thing and you just keep working on it? Or is it like if the GI map comes back like OMG, like super crazy bad?
Yeah, so I don't always recommend that every patient do a GI map every year. I think it depends on the individual patient, but especially for my girls that are working to manage autoimmunity, my Hashimoto's girls, my girls that do have a history of IBS flare-up, doing that annual check-in can be really great. Because like I said, life's going to keep lifing, stress is going to keep stressing, and your gut's going to see the effects of that. So doing an annual check-in and making sure that what you're doing day in and day out is truly effective for where you're at in your health journey is really insightful and beneficial. But I mean, I would say that we always can continue to change and incorporate natural supplements as a way to help support better health. But supplements alone certainly don't heal you. It is very much lifestyle driven. So yes, tweaks in the diet. Maybe if we see high counts of inflammation, maybe we reduce some of the inflammatory foods that might have crept in. I mean, tequila, nachos, tacos. Sometimes those things are delicious. We're all going to go enjoy them with our girlfriends. But if we see high counts of inflammation, we might just need to go back to that anti-inflammatory diet, kind of do a 90-day reset, as I sometimes call it, especially with my autoimmune girls, focusing on that stress management, focusing on going back to the basics of doing your 5 minutes of breath work each day to down-regulate the nervous system, manage your stress better that way, evaluating for different toxins that can certainly stress the gut. So there's all these different aspects, lifestyle that we can also dive into depending on what sort of stresses or patterns we see showing up in your gut health.
And now when you mentioned you had a protozoa or something pop up, is that something that you then would treat with supplement or herbals?
Yeah. Usually with protozoa, we have a nice herbal protocol that can be very effective. With that, it is, well, we kind of use the word intellectual allopathy. Like, responsibly, we will go ahead and do a protocol to evaluate any protozoa that have popped, but then I will go back in and retest to responsibly make sure that I've eradicated that protozoa and regained balance in my gut microbiome.
That makes sense. Well, I have to ask you, so the goal of our podcast is to simplify healthy lifestyle change for women over 40, and we always ask our guests, what are two simple things a woman could do today if she wanted to improve her gut health and her hormone health?
Yes. Okay. So I was thinking about this before I chatted with you girls today, and I feel like we touched on so many different topics. There's so many different little, what do you want to say, tips and tricks that I can provide, but let's keep it super basic. Super basic. At mealtime, I want you to slow down, do 5 minutes of just deep breathing. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Just breathe for 5 minutes. Sit down. Focus on tasting your food and chewing your food. I mean, it's basic, but that right there alone is going to do worlds of benefits, worlds of difference for your digestive system. Whenever you slow down and you take just a couple minutes to breathe, it literally turns on your parasympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for rest and digest. Just breathing. Something as simple and free as breathing is going to help your body to better digest your food, slowing down and chewing that food right there. Again, going to do a world of difference for better digestion, better nutrient absorption, and it's totally free. It's totally simple. We just need to slow down at mealtime.
And that is harder to do than it seems.
I know.
Even myself yesterday, I actually did this before I was going to have lunch. I was like, I really need to just, you know, relax myself before I eat my lunch. But of course, I'm thinking I should be looking at this or answering this email or doing that. And, you know, I was like fighting with myself to get myself to just sit there and eat eat the meal.
I'm the queen of it too. I want to answer emails. I want to post on Instagram. I want to take a phone call at lunch. It's really hard to just, yeah, like give yourself the grace. Give yourself like the 30 minutes to just sit, eat, relax, and enjoy your food.
I'm working on that.
I know. I'm working on it too, girl. Yeah. It's something we need to continue to try to practice. And then the other super simple thing is I don't like to provide specific like hormonal recommendations because so many different women can experience hormonal imbalances in multiple different directions. But one of my favorite things that I feel like has made a big impact with a lot of my girls is reducing your coffee intake in the morning and maybe swapping out and going for something as simple as dandelion root tea. Dandelion root tea is great for supporting liver detox. That right there is really big for hormonal balance. And coffee's not evil. You can still have your coffee. But something as simple as like almost that warm lemon water, that dandelion root tea with lemon in it, that can be really impactful for helping, yes, gut health, yes, digestion, but also better detoxification capacity to help with better hormonal balance.
So you're suggesting we do the dandelion tea or just the lemon water first thing in the morning when we get up? Or
I love to recommend that, on an empty stomach. Yeah, okay. First thing in the morning. And you can do one or the other. I combine. I'm a big habit stacker. I have my tea and I squeeze half a lemon in it.
Okay. I love it. That's easy. That's simple.
Yep.
I mean, we still love our coffee though. So
yeah. Amen.
That's something I'm working on too. I might've been having too much.
But you can't have your coffee until you've had your breakfast.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's different too. There's just been so much advice because some people are like, oh no, you need to fast and have your coffee. And then some people are like, no, you need. Okay. So tell us why that's bad. We're going to do that.
Okay. All right. Listen, I love coffee. I'm not going to demonize it. I don't want people coming after me. I love me some coffee. But I have rules around coffee. You have to have food in your stomach. And by food, I want you to have a complete breakfast. Complete meaning there's a little bit of fat, carb, and protein in your breakfast to help stabilize your blood sugar, buffer the digestive system, and then you can enjoy your coffee. Please have your cup of coffee, but you're not allowed to have it until you have a complete breakfast in your system. And a Danish is not a complete breakfast. Your Danish and coffee is not complete. You need some protein in there.
I've been doing this all wrong for years.
And then last but not least, I usually tell my girls, make sure you're also stopping your coffee around lunchtime. Having that mid-afternoon coffee at 4 p.m., it can really stress your adrenals. It can really kind of mess with your cortisol and DHEA balance. And that's not something that we dove into deep today, but I set some rules around coffee consumption.
Okay. And so is that the reason why we don't want to do it on an empty stomach as well? Because of our other hormones like the cortisol and the DHEA that you just mentioned? Or is that why?
Yeah. Coffee on an empty stomach can sort of kind of spike your blood sugar and cortisol, but also coffee is pretty acidic. So whenever you have that like on an empty stomach, it can also really stress your digestive system. That can be a big reason that patients might even start to experience some heartburn. Yeah. Some gut stress, some gut symptoms, because you're literally waking up after sleeping all night. You're pretty much fasted. You're slightly dehydrated, and then you just throw that acidic coffee into the system, it can be a real shock to the digestive system. I mean, not in a good shock, like an unfavorable shock kind of way. So that's why food in the stomach is going to be important.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we're going to try lemon water. Or I'm sorry, what was the tea again? Which one? The tea?
Oh, roasted dandelion root is one of my favorites because it helps with detox.
Yeah, with lemon. Yeah.
Okay. And where would we get that? Can you get that at any store pretty much? Grocery store?
Yeah. I mean, like I can get mine at my local grocery store. I can order on Amazon. Everyone loves Amazon. They have it.
Okay.
And last little thing I'll throw out there is if you really want to check out something cool, have you guys heard of Dandy Blend?
No.
I've heard of it. It's like a coffee alternative or something.
Yes.
But I'm not explaining what it is.
Yeah, it is roasted dandelion root. I think there's some chicory root in there. There's some beet sugar in there, but it's powdered. You do like a scoop of that with hot water. That's like a nice potent sort of dandelion root that can help with detox. And remember the dandelion greens are also kind of like a bitter that can also help with digestive support. So if someone's looking for a coffee alternative, I will say it scratches the coffee itch, but doesn't taste like coffee, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right, we're going to have to check that out.
Would you be able to drink that on an empty stomach?
Yes, I don't have any problem with that.
Or is it still the same rule? Okay.
Is a little bit of like beet sugar content in there. So I would prefer you have like some food in your system. But I would say that's going to be less of a shock to the system as compared to like black coffee, 7 a.m. with no food.
I just have to say that I don't know how I would live right now because I sometimes don't eat like an actual meal to like into the afternoon. So, and I've probably at this point have had 100% two cups of coffee. So,
well, I mean, like,
I am
bio individuality is a real thing. I mean, if you are thriving and feeling good, I do not want to wreck your world or, you know, throw a wrench into your morning routine. I've just seen over time that coffee can sometimes stress the gut or stress the adrenals.
Right. So if I got the GI map done, would that give you information as to, hey, Raquel, you know, actually that's not really a big deal for you? Or Raquel, you know, that routine that you've had for X amount of time is really a part of your problem.
Yes, I feel like doing a GI map is going to help us understand if coffee consumption on an empty stomach is, you know, stressing your gut lining, maybe throwing off the balance of your gut microbes or leading to any acidity imbalances. So yeah, doing a test can help us.
And I'm having like a full aha moment because I shared before that I had trouble with the protein, like in the low eight. And then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm drinking black coffee on an empty stomach like every day.
I feel bad. I feel bad that I'm rocking you guys' morning routine now.
I'm like, oh man. I'm like, maybe I'm contributing to my own issue there. Like, that totally makes sense. I mean, definitely food for thought.
Like I said, I do not want to demonize coffee. So please keep enjoying it. But yeah, if you are just going to kind of continue to experiment with your own gut health, maybe your own adrenals, energy, stress management, inflammation, like that whole system, you can just experiment. See if having a small balanced breakfast before your coffee doesn't help.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good tip. Good topic to explore.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to tell our listeners that Dr. Kate has a special offer for you today. It's $299 off the gut restoration program. Use the code FMP. And we're going to have a link in the show notes if you'd like to check that out. And just so you know, it's a virtual program and it's open to US and Canadian residents.
Yeah.
Awesome. You can connect with Dr. Kate on Instagram at gut.restoration or her website, www.flourishwellnesspractice.com.
Hey, thank you so much for your time today. We learned so much. This was great.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for having me, girls. It was like I was talking to some friends, so I was very comfortable and it was great to connect with you.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, curing, treating, or preventing any disease. We are functional medicine certified health coaches and not licensed medical professionals. The opinions and advice of guests are their own and also not considered to be medical advice. Always consult with a healthcare professional when making any healthy lifestyle changes. We would love to hear from you. Please leave a comment or review. Email us at info@functionalmoms.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button.